Okay, this is the maintenance call. So what we're going to do is we are going to talk all things maintenance today. What I want to do is I want to answer y'all's questions specifically when it comes to maintaining your weight. I think it's really important that we have this discussion. I want to create a program, like one of our courses, that's just all around maintenance and dealing with maintenance and the mindset. I know a lot of you think that all the things will change in maintenance, that you know, you're going to get there and it's just going to be amazing and all kinds of stuff. Here's what happens. You lose your weight. You don't have that problem to solve anymore. And then a lot of you will either create a weight problem again so that you can solve it again because you're so used to thinking about it. That happens a lot in maintenance. Or you will find that you have the space and time to do other things that you've always dreamed of because you've solved the weight problem. But in terms of like food and like the thought work and all that stuff, it stays the same. I just haven't really noticed a big difference in maintenance for myself. It's just the biggest thing I think is breaking the habit of thinking about losing weight, because you've been thinking about it for so long that you end up like, it's almost like you have to hold on to it in order to, like stay at your weight. So I think, and that's just thought work and that's just models. So I'm going to go over to, I think Kathy was giving me a bunch of questions. I don't see them yet in filters. Kathy, where will you be posting all these questions? You said you're going to give me the questions from the group. I'm just looking, or in Q&A. Never mind. She put them in here. Okay. If I'm in maintenance and decide I want to lose 5 to 10 more pounds, what is the best way to kick my ass back into gear? Stop trying to kick your ass into gear. Like when you say that, this is like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get remotivated and all this other stuff. No, you need to be hungry and you need to stop when you're satisfied. That's it. Usually what I see when people get into maintenance is they get into a very comfortable eating stream that really works for that size. And they just don't want to have to wait for hunger anymore. Like you will wait till you're barely hungry rather than waiting until you're actually like just good and hungry. Like, if, yeah, it's for sure time to eat. And then you'll probably have to, if you want to lose 5 to 10 more pounds, you'll need to naturally stop eating once you're satisfied, which is going to be less than what you would eat to maintain your weight, right? What I do hear in this too is like, you're waiting to be motivated. You're waiting to feel good about it. You're waiting for all these other things. You just have to start. Like there's no, guys, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're in maintenance or if you're first beginning. It is the same mindset. It's asking the same question. How do I get motivated to lose weight? It doesn't matter what part of the journey you're in. It's the same answer every single time. Here's how you get motivated. You make a list of the things that you're going to do and you say you're going to do them. And you just start picking one off at a time and layering them in until the weight loss starts. That's it. Like thinking that you need a kick in the ass or some kind of something, that's when we have convinced ourselves that the only reason why we ever are going to lose weight is because we feel terrible. Imagine if you just decided to do it because it's a challenge. It's just something you want to do. You just want to see if you can do it. That's very different. Most of us always think, well, I need a kick in the ass. I'm going to need something horrific to happen. I'm going to need some kind of like event where I'm going to be scared. I look terrible at it. No, that I want you to notice that's a thought pattern that we've developed over time that we think the only way to lose weight is to be demotivated to lose weight. The moment you started losing weight at some point, you were motivated to take action. It was not a demotivation. You decided at some point, I'm just going to start. And that's what you have to do now. Could you talk about how to not let old diet mentality slip in? I'm at goal, so I should be allowed to have a few more exceptions. There's like, it's going, those are things like, guys, there's no not letting it slip in. It never slips in. There's doing your thought work every day. Seriously, if you don't want, your brain is going to throw up the old stuff. You just have to stay aware of it and then be like, nope, that's not how we do it. That's literally the answer. It's not like there's some secret mind, Jedi mind trick in maintenance that says, oh yeah, none of those thoughts are going to come back. The only reason why you would want those thoughts to go away is if you're afraid you're going to act on them. You know how you don't act on them? You stay very aware that they're happening and you stay very aware of what you're going to consciously choose to do. There are going to be times where you're going to want to eat and feel tempted just like somebody who has 100 pounds to lose. It will not matter. Just because, like, this is the thing, guys. Just because you're in maintenance, you're not entitled to not have urges. You're not entitled to not be tempted. You're not entitled to have perfectly clean thoughts. That's not what losing weight does. All losing weight does is get your scale number down. That's it. The rest of it is you practicing all the things. You, like, if you've been doing thought work throughout your weight loss, you're going to have to do your thought work even when you're in your maintenance. You're going to have to watch for thoughts that you'll want to think because you're in maintenance now, and that's fine. If losing weight has been your primary goal, when you get to maintenance, do you think keeping the weight off should now be your primary goal, or might it be wise to pick a non-weight loss goal to focus on and having maintenance still be in mind? If you've lost all your weight, it's time to go pick out something else. And you go tell yourself, as part of the strategy for doing this new goal, guess what? Like, eating healthy is part of that. My daily planning for my weight is part of that. You start moving the goal to something else, but you move the actions required to get there up underneath the actions required to get the new goal. So, like, let's say you've lost your weight and you want to start a business. So part of your strategy for starting a business is going to make sure that you're eating healthy, that you're doing a 24-hour plan, that you are keeping your weight down by, you know, continuing your exercise, whatever it is. Those become strategies to reach that goal. Because what's happening is, if those aren't strategies underneath it, then you, like, because one of the things about starting a business is you don't need to be buffering with food. You don't need to be eating when it's uncomfortable. You want to be going through the discomfort of starting the business and not white knuckling starting the business, right? It is the same thing. So you just start moving the daily strategies. It's like, yeah, as part of building a business means I make a 24-hour plan every day, because one of the things I'm going to do is learn how to do this work without eating through it. Corinne has said it before, when you lose the weight, you are left with your life, so you better like it. If you are discontent, then you will create a weight problem again to pull focus onto that problem. Please talk about this. Give examples, stories, how people overcame feeling like something is missing. I don't really have any stories about that, but I can just kind of tell you what I mean. So let's say that you've been in a marriage, and throughout your marriage, your husband is not supportive of your weight loss or something. Like, well, let me see. That's not a good example. What is something? Let's say your job. Okay. Let's say that you have a job and you've been losing your weight and using your weight as a way to just not focus on how much you hate your job. So when you lose your weight, the next thing you know, you're just like, I hate my job. I hate my job. All the thoughts that you've been suppressing with having weight loss as you're busy is now, like, they're back. So, like, you've lost all your weight. That doesn't make your job more palatable. So what you want to do is you want to start working on the job. You want to start, like, saying, okay, like, I've conquered this. So now I need to start thinking about, why do I not like this job? What are the thoughts I have about this job? You start tackling it just like you did the weight. What most people do is they think they're going to lose weight and be so happy that a bullshit job is going to, like, not be that bad. It's the same thing with, like, relationships. We lose weight thinking that, well, when I lose weight, my husband will love me more. Like, suddenly he'll say all the nice things and he'll compliment me and whatever. It's like, if your husband's not complimenting you when you're overweight, he's for fuck's sure not going to do it when you're thin. He's still going to be the same husband. Here's what will piss you off more. Like, when you're overweight, you'll be pissed that he's not supportive by not eating the things you want him to eat. And then when you lose the weight, he won't be supportive because he's not like, oh my God, you work so hard. You've done all the things. Yay you, way to change your life. To him, your weight problem is not a problem in his life. He didn't care. He just wants to eat his burgers. But if you have not worked on that, if you've, like, been losing weight with this mindset of, like, this is going to fix everything, that's really what this is about. And so what happens is if you think your weight is somehow going to bring you closer to your man, you know, you're going to go to work and get promotions because you've lost weight. Everyone's going to respect you now. Everyone's going to notice you. Everywhere you go, people will think you're so amazing. Like, and people do this. They think that their weight loss is somehow going to change their life. It changes your scale weight and it changes your pant size. The vast majority of us are still married to the same humans. We still have the same kids. We still have the same shit. Like, your kids aren't going to suddenly want to pick up their clothes just because mama's lost weight. It's just not happening. You're going to, like, have lost the weight and then be disgruntled because they're not picking up the clothes unless you start realizing they're kids. And, like, this is very separate. So if you continue to get annoyed about kids not picking up their clothes, you can either eat to not be annoyed and then create a weight problem so you have something to work on, or you can work on why you're annoyed with your kids, have conversations you might feel uncomfortable with, accept the fact that, oh yeah, I forgot. Kids just don't like doing it. I'm the asshole in the family that's very particular about clothes not being on the floor. No one else could give a shit. So if I'm the only one aggravated, I should probably be the one who's willing to do the work rather than expecting other people to do work that I'm not willing to do, although it aggravates me. So it's like working through all of those things. That's what we're talking about. And it's like, it's this thing of like, if you've been working on your, it's not that you want to overcome feeling like something's missing. You want to accept something's missing. Like, you want to lose your weight and be like, shit. Something's missing. I just, maybe I thought everything would change. And rather than shrinking from it, being like, oh, I was counting on my weight loss to solve my life, I'm supposed to start creating a life that I love. I try to teach you guys how to do that on the way down the scale. That is kind of what's different here, but that's one of the things to watch for. I think one of the biggest things during maintenance for me is goals to keep me motivated, engaged when you don't have scale and weight loss anymore. For a while, it's fitness or strength goals. This is how I ended up running a half when I never really wanted to. But eventually, you run out of other goals. Then what? You have to tie, like, the reason why you're thin to being just, like, who you are. You don't need a goal. It's like me. I don't have goals anymore. I mean, I have my 5K running goal, but that has nothing to do with my weight loss and has nothing to do with my maintenance. I just want to be a faster runner, regardless. You have to, like, just, you need to step into the identity of this is who you are. Then you don't need a goal. You're just doing the things that the person you are does. Like, who I am is someone who makes a plan every day. Like, and this is the thing, like, you guys keep saying, like, I need all this stuff to keep me motivated, engaged. No, you don't. That would be like me saying, you know what, I'm, you know, I'm married to Chris. Sometimes I need to figure out a way to be motivated to love him. I need to be motivated to want to talk to him. I need to figure out how to be motivated to take care of Logan today. Like, most of you are never looking, especially dog owners. You guys never wake up and say, like, I got to figure out how to be motivated to take care of my dog today. You just do it because you're a dog owner. It's the same thing. You're either someone who weighs this much, you're either thin, get your shit together with your food, or you're not. If you're still looking for motivation, you need to work harder on identifying as someone who's thin. And this is just what we do. I don't need motivation for that. As I write this, I totally recognize that motivated and engaged are feelings. Engaged is the action. Motivated is the feeling. So I want you to think about, if you need something that motivates you, need to come up with a thought that requires, that generates motivation. I think you don't need motivation every day to do the things you do. You want it to just be easy, habitual. You want it to feel like a habit. Like, this is just what I do. Like, seriously, guys? Like, I just had surgery. I was sitting here thinking today as I was eating a salad. I was sitting there going, I can remember, like, just being sick back in my overweight days and eating junk food because I was sick. And it didn't even occur to me to start eating McDonald's and bullshit because I had surgery. Like, that just seemed foreign to me. We drove by McDonald's yesterday. And this is because I self-identify as someone who now eats healthy, who takes care of herself. Like, that's just what I identify as. And that's because for years I've told myself that's who I am. That's not because, like, a light bulb switched on. No, I had to tell myself for years, this is who I am. And I had to keep doing things when I wasn't motivated. I had to just do them because that's who I am, not because I was motivated. Because it was just the sense of, I owe it to myself. I feel very committed to me. And that's what most of you need to feel more than you need to feel motivated. You need to feel very committed to your processes. Even on the, because commitment to your processes, guys, means that you'll be committed to your processes even on the days you don't want to do them. Most days, do I have my, no, my workbook's downstairs. This is my no BS workbook. But most days, my planner, I don't feel complete unless I've done it. There's like, it bothers me more to not use my 24-hour planner than it does to like, to use it. Now, every now and then I don't want to do it and I'll hear stuff and I'll be like, no, I'll just get it done. That's because I'm very committed to who I am and who I want to be. So think about like your action is the engagement. You need to list out what are the engagement things. And you just to make them non-negotiable. Like, why would you negotiate things that allow you to be at the body that you want to be at? Like, you need to ask yourself, why would I even negotiate that stuff? Just because I'm having negotiating thoughts doesn't mean that I listen to them. Like, if I said, hey, at camp, we're all going to do coke, like cocaine, it'll be amazing. I bet y'all lose 5 pounds before you leave. Most of you would not be like, well, okay, well, let's do coke. You'd be like, no. I would not be able to negotiate you into that. You would be very committed to being a non-cocaine user. It's like you just need to be like that. I have done a lot of work on this, and I feel like I'm in a good space. Basically, okay, just not having a big goal or the time all the time or looking for things to work on. But in the last 3 years, this has been the biggest thing for me and figures others struggle with it too. Yeah, I would just be like, I refuse to have a goal around my weight loss. I don't need one. What would it be like to just be the kind of person who refuses to have a goal around weight loss? Like, you know what my goal is? Being fucking healthy. Eating on plan. I'd love to just see how often I can just eat like the fucking healthiest person ever. Just to see what that's like. It does not always have to be weight loss, guys. I heard that eating to a +3 is the new norm to maintain. True or still eat satisfied? It depends on your scale. Some people can eat to a 3. Like I can eat to a 3 and pretty much maintain. I typically eat to about a 2 or 3. But if I definitely want to lose a few pounds, I have to go back to a strong 2. That's just what has to happen. But I can eat to like, usually I can, oh God, y'all, my boobs are killing me. Sorry. I know y'all know I had boob surgery. This left one has been just lit today. I'm the kind of person, like I can watch my scale and I'm sure it's because I'm also highly active, but I can, like I have to wait till hunger or I do start gaining weight, but I can eat to about a 3. If I start eating to a 4, every day, what I notice is I can't really afford exceptions. Like I have to trade being able to eat to a 4 at most meals for all my exceptions. Like there's no drinking, there's no French fries. Like I can have healthy food, but I could get there. You have to play with it though. Everybody's different. So if you're in maintenance, what I would do is I would just play with your numbers, eat to where you like, but that also is giving you the result that you want. Oh my gosh, I'm thirsty and my boob hurts. I'm in a hot mess. Do you recommend a range of weight to stay in during maintenance? If you get to the upper limit, you make changes more in line with the 4 basics. Yeah. So I have a range. I have like a 10-pound range. I stay within that range. If I ever get to the top end of that range, that's when I start auto-correcting. You see me eating for sure -2 to a 2 until I kind of fall back down into my range. And then I just kind of go back to what I was doing. So like you'll see, like right now I'm kind of in a stage where I'm just trying to get off a little bit of the summer weight. I've already dropped like 1.5 pounds of it. I have about 3 more I want to lose. It takes me, like, I like to do it slow. I don't like to do it fast. I like losing 0.5 pound a week. It works well for me and it's so much easier. So I just kind of cut back a little bit. What I've been doing, that's super simple. And I always gain weight in the summer, guys. I just choose to gain weight so that I can have more drinks. Like I know what's going to happen. And I'm okay with it. I love having more drinks in the summer with Chris in Vegas. And we don't like to just go to Vegas and not have date night at home. So we're keeping a lot of exceptions in during the summer. And that's cool. So, but I also know my history, which is every fall, I just slowly take it back off. And usually by about December, I'm back to the low end of my range. And it all has always worked for me. And I just do it slow. And I just make small changes. So like, one of the easy ways for me to make sure that I'm not eating to a plus two is I just tell, like, when I serve my salads, if I'm eating them at dinner, I eat the smaller bowl. I don't eat the bigger bowl. If I eat at lunch, I usually eat the bigger bowl. When I'm having my JJ dinners, I've told her to make me a little bit less than she's used to making me. Super simple. I just keep it super simple. I try not to recreate the wheel. I try not to make things hard. These are all the things that I did. I just look for little easy ways to make it really easy for me to follow my hunger scale and not have to be like, well, let me serve myself up the usual and, you know, throw away my food stuff. It's like, I don't even need to do that. I'm going to throw away the food ahead of time. It's going to serve a little less and I'm done. And that makes it easy. Maintained a 50-pound loss for 3 months, but lately I'm very hungry and having trouble with the plus two and frequency of wanting and needing to eat. Catherine, if you're actually really hungry, what I would do is I would just eat. Just try adding a little bit more food in there and see what happens with your scale. If you're still maintaining, you'll be fine. If you're not, your body's just going to have to get used to what it's doing. But I would bet you that you could probably add a little more fat, and that will help stave off some of that hunger. You can add just a little bit more to what you're eating. Why wouldn't other goals just include those weight loss strategies? They can, but this is what a lot of people have to realize, that when they're losing weight, if you haven't lost your weight yet, it's really hard to do two things at once, because you're already going to be dealing with urges and all these things when you're trying to lose your weight. And then you're going to be doing something that's going to make you really uncomfortable. Like if, let's say you're starting a business or you're looking for a new job, you're going to have to be doing resumes, facing rejection, getting interviewed. You're going to have all of these things that are going to create nervousness and, like, for some of you, worry and anxiety and stuff. The last thing you need to do when you're trying to lose weight is figure out how to pursue other goals that cause you to have feelings that you haven't learned yet how to deal with without food. Once you've learned how to deal with your stuff without food and it becomes who you are, it is so much easier to go through the fire of all these other things, because this is now on autopilot. Weight loss is now on autopilot. You roll those strategies up into another goal, because you're like, and I know I'm going to be nervous and I know I'm going to be anxious and stuff, but my plans and how I eat and stuff, that's how now I'm going to deal with it. That's going to give me the safety and comfort of knowing that my weight loss is taken care of and I'm taking care of myself emotionally. And when I feel these things, I'm going to work on my thoughts around it, not eat to escape it and willpower myself through to another goal. I hope that makes sense. When you have things go awry during the day, how do you not buffer with food? Do you just stop and do a model or a TDL? I honestly don't even do a model or a TDL most of the time during the day. Every now and then, if it's really bad, like when our friend died and stuff, like that, like, was a shocker. And like, that was where I needed to do some journaling. I reached out to some people and all that kind of stuff. Like, it was more than I could just handle sitting at my desk. But, you know, like, I had some stuff go awry today. I just don't eat through it. It's just something I tell myself. I'm not eating through this problem, because I always tell myself eating through the problem doesn't solve my problem. It creates another problem for me to have to solve. And I just have that conversation with myself a lot. And so when things come up during the day that, like, there's a fire, someone annoys me, or, you know, what, like today was a good example. Oh, I think Chris got his door shut. You know, Chris and I work together now. And of course, you know, girls, we in love. We're all the things, but we're like every married couple. And when you work with your husband and you happen to be the boss, there are little things that he'll do. And then suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know I had that button. So like today he comes walking in and we're actually, we've been having problems with my Facebook account. So, I mean, I run everything on Facebook, as you guys know. And I'm on I'm in a meeting with Sadie and we're talking about Facebook strategies on how to set my account up to keep it safe so Facebook doesn't shut me down. Because if Facebook shuts me down, guess where I'm not in? The Facebook groups. I mean, shit, you know, I need to be in there for you guys. So Chris knows all the rules. Like he's been studying it and really understands what we can and cannot do. He comes in from a haircut after dropping Logan off at school. He's bringing me the water. And I happened to be having this conversation with Sadie and I said, hey, is there any way you could just like pop into this meeting for a second? And because you know all things about Facebook, he shoots me a look of like, yeah. And he does that. Oh my God. I was pissed. Like you would not believe. I said, get out. I just pointed that direction. I was like, get out. And of course, you know, Sadie's like on the Zoom call sitting there in the middle of all this. And he said, fine. And so he storms out. And I just looked at her and I said, that shit pisses me off. I'm just telling you right now, but let's get on with the meeting. I was like, I'll make all the decisions. And if it doesn't work out, he can clean up the mess. And so anyway, I was like in a pissy mood, right? And not one time did I think I should go eat. I should really go eat through this. You know what would be great? Let me go eat through this. You know what I sat there and did? I sat there and figured out like, all right, we're going to make the decisions. We're just going to handle this. If it's a fuck up later, it'll just have to be a fuck up later. And guess what we'll do? We won't eat through it then and we'll handle it then too. I just don't think about like, I think it's because so many times when I've had problems and I've wanted to eat, I've told myself over and over again, this is not a food solve problem. Food only solves my hunger. It's not solving my boredom. It's not solving my problems at work. So like every now and then I will say that in maintenance, where I get sloppy is like when it's at night and I want to relax. That's the time that I have to really watch. And I have to practice more of consciously telling myself, food does not relax me. It feels relaxing. There are all kinds of thoughts that wash over me. The food interacts in my body as if it's relaxing, but it's not really relaxing me. Because when I wake up in the morning and I don't look amazing and the scale goes up a little bit, it's not so relaxing. I'm ginned up, pissed at myself. So I have to tell myself the truth. It may feel true sometimes that food relaxes you or that it's like it's making this problem easier or whatever. You have to be very aware of what you tell yourself. You have to tell yourself food is not helping this. It's just not. Even if in the middle of when you're eating, I would rather you eat and just say like, and food is only hurting us right now. I'm going to continue eating, but I'm going to tell myself the truth. This isn't solving anything. My problem is still sitting right there. I would not let your brain shut off what you're trying to solve. I would keep actively thinking about it even while you're eating, because what it will do is it will disconnect that relief that the food is giving, the numbness that the food is giving. Your brain has to learn that that's not the avenue to which we feel better. And you can do that by actively thinking about your problem in the middle and stuff. So, you know, eventually I just went in there. I mean, I just went through my day. And then when he was eating lunch, I went in there and just said, hey, like, can you look at something? I said, I'm sorry, I got snippy this morning. That's it. And I probably would have still apologized. I'll tell you what I probably would have done though. In my old days, if I'd ate over that situation, I would have went in there and then I would have been pissed that I ate and I would have never apologized until like a day later after I've sat in a diaper and then sat in my own diaper. And like, it would have compounded everything. So I want you guys thinking about that. So it's just maintenance is like, I think weight loss, the journey of the weight loss teaches you how to get honest with yourself. And like you're learning how to be honest and stuff. And maintenance is where you just have to be totally honest. This is where we just tell the truth. We've already proven to ourselves we can do the work. We've already proven to ourselves we can eat on plan. We've already proven to ourselves that we've debunked all the things. And now we just have to prove to ourselves that, all right, this is where we be in maintenance. Maintenance should be kind of boring, guys. It just shouldn't be exciting. And I think that's part of the problem is you guys associate weight loss and everything is exciting. Like, oh, the scale's moving. Oh, look at me. Everybody's complimenting me. Oh, I'm getting a new size. Well, once you hit maintenance, guess what? Nobody gives a fuck you lost weight anymore. All of you know me as thin. There's not one person in the tribe outside of my mother who even knows me fat. Y'all don't come up to me and like, oh my God, you've lost so much weight. Nobody does that anymore. The thrill of that's gone. I go shopping. Guess what? I always wear a 6 or an 8. Who knew? I wear mediums and tops. Hopefully they'll all be mediums now that I've gotten my boobs taken down. My buttons, every now and then I had to be getting the large, especially if the button top required a bra. You put a little, because I got big nipples, y'all. I'm just going to tell you, if you don't know, when you have your breasts done, your headlights will be as hard as this cap for the rest of your life, all the time. And as my mother said, baby, you were just born with gumdrops. So there you go. If I don't wear a padded one, I poke someone's eyes out. So I've always had to wear, like, with these big triple D's, a padded bra. And so, like, I go and I get shirts, and I'm constantly having to get shirts that tint my belly that I worked so hard for and got a tummy tuck for to make up for all this. That was another reason why, this is a tangent, but why I ended up getting a brush job. But yeah, it's not as exciting. I go buy clothes, same sizes now. Nothing's new. Used to be thrilling. You know, now it's not really that thrilling. I'm impressed that I can go into those stores, but after a while, that stops being a high. You get used to going to White House Black Market and ordering things online and stuff. That just happens. You can't rely on the excitement to keep you at your weight. You need to appreciate the excitement, but you have to rely on you sitting there and appreciating who you are now. Like, I can get that all these people are congratulating me and everything, but you know what I am? I'm someone who makes a plan every day. I'm someone who listens for my bullshit. I'm someone that, you know, sometimes gets tempted and has to deal with urges and stuff. That's the way it is. But I'm good at it, obviously, because I've lost 100 pounds or however much weight you've lost. You just tell yourself when you have urges, right? And sitting there panicking over urges and stuff. You'd be like, I'm made for this now. Like, I've learned all of this. Even when you make the mistakes, if you just keep believing and holding on to, I'm made for this. I'm going to keep figuring this out. You will. What's a good drinking scale? There's not really a drinking scale. You just have to like plug your drinks in and then you have to kind of watch your weight and the scale will tell you kind of how much you can drink. And then I would just rather than looking at just your weight, be like, one of the things I had to really come to grips with is I wanted to get really honest with my relationship with alcohol. I used to tell myself all the time, like, I could drink like 4 or 5 drinks and just like not, and it, I just don't suffer from it the next day. I'm a good drinker. I used to tell myself that all the time. Until I started really paying attention and doing a thought download every morning after I would drink. They were all planned. And I'd just be like, all right, we're on the hunt for everything we're thinking and feeling. And I started noticing little things. I was like, I don't feel as good as I think I do. Like, I'm not as productive as I thought I was. I just always told myself I was, so I believed it because I would tell myself. And so what I did was I just started kind of like reducing how much I drink. Like, I was talking to my friend the other day because I was like so hard on myself because I had like 2 drinks the other night and I hadn't planned it, but I hadn't drank all week either. And I was just like, I just don't like it when I drink when I'm off my plan. And I was like really beating myself up. And she just said, girl, I'm not trying to justify you drinking off plan, but does it really need you to give yourself a horse whipping? She was just like, you are really beating yourself up. You can like admit like I didn't plan it and stuff, but you have to see that you 2 drinks and you, it, like, this is what I literally said. I think I'm done. This is just plenty. She was like, you would have never said that a year ago. And so there's a fine line, I think, between, like, I catch myself still, like, sometimes when I break my plans, I'm all about always being honest and stuff, guys. I think you just track everything, but you have to watch how you're tracking everything. Don't track things and then use it against yourself. as a reason to like, oh, I must be a shit show, or oh, you know, I don't like it when I do this. It's like, I don't have to like it or not. I can just be like, oh, and notice it and decide what I want to learn from it. One of the things that I'm working on is a little bit of the gray, is being able to sometimes just like how do you include responsible spontaneity? That's one of the things I want to work on, because I think that that's a key concept in maintenance. I've never really taught it because I'm still trying to figure out what is like your responsible spontaneity, but I want to come up with a better like term for it. All right. I'll let you guys know when I have it. I find sometimes when I look in the mirror, I still see the overweight person. I even still go for the larger clothes, like an automatic. Of course, that's because that's where you shopped forever. You're just going to have to go to those and be like, oh yeah, that's not my weight anymore. And then go to the new ones until your brain overrides, go into the new ones. I then realized that these clothes look big like sacks on me. When do I identify as a thin person? You only are going to identify as a thin person after you've practiced the thoughts enough. It's just taking time. It always takes time. That's it. You'll go from, like, I want you to think that that's not bad though. Like, I need to start identifying. There's almost like a rush to identify as a thin person. I think right now what's happening is you're not identifying as anything. I think you're like caught between the bigger version of you and the thinner version of you. And that's fine. I don't think that there's a problem going on. I think what you want to do is you want to realize like, oh, I keep going towards the bigger clothes. I'm going to practice being uncomfortable and go straight for the smaller clothes now. Like, practice going to something that you know for sure won't fit. Like, for sure. And it's like, and this is when we practice things not fitting and not making it mean we're still fat. Like, start doing some of that work. As I increase weights to help me tone, will this impact my range or hunger urges? You'll only know as you lift. Lifting weights, like unless you're super heavy with your weights, usually doesn't impact hunger. Cardio has more of a hunger impact than weights do. Weights often won't do it, but like a lot of cardio, thinking all this cardio is going to do it for you guys, that's usually going to increase your hunger more, because cardio burns off glycogen really fast. And glycogen, when it gets low, your body wants to refill it. So then it starts craving food. Weights are different. They don't burn off glycogen like that. So you probably won't notice that you get as hungry. Now, if you do, just eat. I would just eat. There's no problem with it. If you're lifting really heavy and your body's burning through fat and trying to like build muscle and stuff, and it's getting, sending you some real hunger cues, I would eat a little something. Just eat a little protein, a little healthy carb. You'll be great. I'm 52 and within my goal range for 16 years. I have my food dialed and exercise regularly. I joined to work on my emotional health. I haven't reached menopause and I'm terrified that I will gain weight when it hits. Have you found this to be true with your 50-ish members? No, most of my 50s, people that usually end up gaining weight when they're in their menopausal years are doing so because they're not really watching their food. They've always been able to just eat shit and get away with it. And then when they hit 50, they've been kind of overeating for a long time when their metabolism slows down. But if you've already been eating fine and if your metabolism slows down a little bit and stuff, probably won't even happen to you. I would not sit around and worry about something, because here's the thing, you can worry about it, but it may actually happen. But because you're someone who's already so dialed into eating healthy and stuff, all you have to do is eat a little less, or maybe adapt a little bit of what you eat. That's all that has to happen for you. It's not like you have to figure out how to lose your weight and figure out how to eat healthy and figure out everything from ground zero. You've already done all that work and you've already got it in habit and you've already done it for a long time. So like, I think for you, it's thinking about more about what you have accomplished and really identifying as to who you are, so that you feel emotionally better about it. Now that I've noticed I've got weight loss on lock, I'm waffling in other areas of life, dating, buying furniture, choosing a job. When you are weighing options, do you treat each one separately as a yes or no, or do you compare them to each other? I have a couple of yeses and I'm not sure how to decide amongst them. Jobs, not men. Those are mostly no's. I would just pick one. Honestly, I'm just a big believer in like, if your weight loss is on lock, pick the next thing that you're going to work on and write about it. Write about all the things that, the reasons why you want to do it, write about all the reasons why your, like having your weight in check right now is going to support that, how it's going to really benefit you, like really set it up as like the weight loss was a positive and all the ways that it can work for this new goal. Just kind of get your mind framed right around it. And then write about what you're scared of on this. You know, why do you want a new job? Why do you want to do these things? I would do the thought work on that part and then go after it. What is the difference between weight loss mode and maintenance? One is you're losing weight and maintenance you're not. So when you're in your weight loss mode, you are doing all of the things, you're eating in ways, like with your hunger scale and stuff, that's going to produce the result of losing weight. And then at some point you're going to be like, and this is the weight that I want to be. So you're going to play with your hunger scale maybe a little bit, or your body's just going to stabilize. A lot of us, what happens is we get to about our weight and we don't really get to add much. We might be able to get like an extra small exception meal, or maybe you can eat to a 3 or something like that. But you start finding like the ways, like you'll start just adding a few things in that you might want to add in at maintenance. It's not that you're going to go back to emotional eating. You may just be like, you know what? I'd like to, like, I want to be able to have like, bigger lunches or bigger dinners or something. I would really love to be able to, like, sometimes I want to have a second helping of something, like sometimes. That, I mean, that's really all the difference is. It's not a big difference. I think a lot of us make this big deal out of, once I hit maintenance, I need a whole new plan. You don't need to change anything. Once you hit maintenance, I wouldn't change anything. I would just see if your weight naturally stabilizes, and if it doesn't, and you're like, and I'm done losing weight, then you just start just making small tweaks. Like, you know, you might have dessert and French fries as your exception. Like for me, when I have an exception meal, I don't eat all the things. But sometimes when you're first starting, you may be like, when my first exception meals, I ate all the things. I could like have pizza and dessert and all the stuff. Now, you know, exception meal for me is basically just wine. Like I like to have wine two or three times a week. If you read my journal, I don't always include fries and stuff. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like I just know for me, in order to maintain my weight, it's just not a ton of wiggle room. It's not as dramatic as you think it's going to be. I'm hot. I'm often using the excuse that I'm so close to goal that I can eat what I want. Only if you've gotten to your goal, otherwise you can't, right? You just have to be like, oh, that's that stuff I say to myself that says, I'm so close to my goal. If I eat what I want, I'll hose myself. Like every time you think that, you have to tell yourself the new thought. Tell yourself the new thought, the reality thought. Eventually, you start questioning if you're going to eat what you want. But if you just keep using the same, like, you know that's an excuse, you know you think it, if you don't actively think something else right on the tail end of it, you'll never change your action. On weekends, I let loose. I plan realistically, burgers and wine, then go overboard on that plan. How do I take my goal more seriously? I don't think you need to take your goal more seriously. My compelling reason is to feel like my true self, who is fit and looks great in any clothes. Okay, so right now you're living out of integrity with your true self. You need to really define what your true self is. You need to be like, is my true self someone who just eats whatever she wants on the weekends? Is my true self someone who wants one thing and sabotages herself? And you have to be honest with you. You need to write about it and be like, no, my true self would be someone who like wants to eat shit on the weekends and realizes it's not good for her. Like you have to do that. And then my true self is somebody who can sit and be uncomfortable on the weekends when she wants to eat more than what she's planned. But one of the things that you can do for a weekend is just plan it the way you overboard it. Be your true self. I mean, you said it yourself. I want to be my true self. You know what your true self does? She doesn't eat behind her back. She eats like her true self. So your weekend plan, it should have all the overboard stuff on there. You should make a plan. Like, here's how you know if you're making a true plan that's super realistic and it's going to snap you into the consciousness of what you do to yourself each weekend. You will make the plan and it will make you want to die. There will be vomit in your mouth. Like, there's no way. This will never help me lose weight. That's when you know, like, that's the real thoughts. That's the stuff that we need to be thinking all weekend long. We cannot afford to turn it off, because what happens is you'll say, fuck it, and you'll eat to turn off. This is not our true self. This will never help us lose weight. And I'm just going to tell you, you guys have to be willing. If you're not willing to be uncomfortable with sitting and not having what you want, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable eating exactly what you want and thinking about what you don't. It's a game changer. It is a complete game changer. All right, last question, guys. I'm 10 pounds away from my goal and I'm feeling good. Good. And congratulations. I am finding that the only way I can continue on to my goal is to do 2 workouts a day and eat 1 meal a day at dinner. Oh, that's no good, Natalie. If I do differently, then I'm not losing weight. Is this how it is? No. I would like to eat more food and still lose weight, but the trial and error, this seems to be the way my body wants to lose weight. It's not the way that you're, here's what I want you to watch your thought. This is the way my body wants to lose weight. No, this is the way you've taught your body to lose weight. You have done all these things to try to get it to lose weight without doing a lot of things to figure out how you want to lose your weight in a way that you can keep doing. There's a big difference. You're doing things to lose weight at all costs, including how you want to live the rest of your life. Eating 1 meal a day at dinner seems to work for my schedule, but on the weekends or on days while I work from home, I do want to eat lunch. Would start eating lunch. Don't just, 2 a days and eating once a day, I'm just going to tell you right now, that is just a recipe for disaster. I don't care what anybody out there says. Just take it from me, that is a recipe for disaster. I would reverse engineer and get out of this. And here's how I would do it. I would start with either you're going to cut to 1 workout a day. Should not have to work out twice a day. No one should, unless you're training for a major event, like an Ironman, a half Ironman, a bodybuilding competition. Like when you're going to like compete in something, though, like athletes like that do train twice a day. They also probably eat 3 to 4 times as much as you're eating right now in order to do their sport. So how I would do it is I would probably decide, do I want to cut 1 workout out for 2 weeks? And you can even start with every other day, but you need to teach your body that it's okay to get back to a normal level of movement plus nutrition. And that's what you really need to make this happen. I don't know how old you are, Natalie, but this, I would be worried about you, your bones. I'll tell you a good book I want you to listen to. I've been listening to it. It's called Roar, R-O-A-R. It's by Dr. Stacy Sims. It's all about women and like their hormonal cycles, food, athletics, all that kind of stuff. It's really for the people who train and whatnot. I think it would be really good for you. I've enjoyed the book so much. Take a listen to that. But how I would reverse engineer out of this is literally just decide. I'll just tell you how I would do it. I would, for the next 2 weeks, cut to working out twice a day, only 4 days a week. And then on the 3rd week, I would continue with the workouts as you have them. Only cut those workouts. I would add, during those 2 weeks, on the days you want to eat lunch, on the days you're not working, I would eat the lunch. Since you're already kind of been doing that somewhat, I would do all of that. Now, your weight is going to bounce around a little bit. You're not going to get fat from eating lunch and dinner, especially if it's healthy meals, and working out like a normal person. Now, your scale may move around a little bit because what you're probably doing with the 2 workouts and the lack of eating is running out glycogen through your body. That's not fat on your ass. All that is your body's, like inside your muscle, there's juice. No one sees when you're glycogen low. You could lose up to 4 pounds of glycogen and nobody in the world would see it. You would not look any different. You would not, you probably will look fatter. Have you ever heard of people that are skinny fat? A lot of times skinny fat people have low glycogen stores. because they don't have enough muscle. They don't have much muscle, so they don't store much glycogen. All right, so that's a tangent. But anyway, cut the stuff, cut the exercise back some, go ahead and add in your lunches, and then after you do 2 weeks, get your workouts down, like cut another workout 2 weeks, then cut another. Get it to where eventually every week you've gotten it down where you're just working out one day a week or one session a day. And not moving whatever you're doing at night to the morning or morning to night. Not doing that shit either. Like just a solid workout. That is all you need. And then you add back in some lunch, and you need to get to where you're eating two times a day, at least, if not three. Especially if you're working out that much, it is so counterintuitive. If you're working out that much, you should be eating at least 3 to 4 times a day. My girlfriend that's training for the Ironman, she works out almost every single day, twice a day. She has one day off a week. She eats fucking around the clock, and she's like 125 pounds, soaking wet. It can be done. I'm 35. I'm not in pain. It doesn't mean at 45 you're not going to be in pain, honey. Don't tell me that shit. Don't say, well, because I'm not in pain now. What's happening when you work out like that and not eating is you listen to that book. You're losing your bones, your bone density. When you're 45, you'll go to spin class, clip in, and snap an ankle. That's what happens to people who donkey their weight off in their 35 year, in their 30 years, in their 40s, when their hormones start changing and stuff. You pay the price then. It won't be because you had a workout at 45. It'll be the one that you did at 35 and you weren't fueling your body with food. I don't feel overworked, but I do get what you were saying. I will read the book. For sure, read the book. It feels good. It's gentle. Spin class is not gentle. I take Peloton classes. I feel anything but like I've had a gentle ride afterward. I'm usually cussing the fucking instructors. All right, guys, that's everything. So you guys have a wonderful one. Thank you for the questions. If you have more questions or want specific things addressed when I start writing the maintenance course, if you will send them in to support@pnptribe.com, we'll get them added to our project list of where I'm collecting all my notes and stuff. We'll take all these questions. We'll kind of talk the themes in there, and we'll start building out something and be looking for it probably the first half of next year, like the first in the early part of winter of next year. I'm already working on some other stuff, so I'm in content creation mode right now. All right, guys, you have a good one. Bye.